This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
Airbnb is a digital business that allows owners of properties to list and rent their accommodations on a short-term basis. Its business model is framed as part of the sharing economy, where a property owner might supplement their income by renting out a room or their home from time to time. It's a positive narrative, and indeed many people report good experiences by renting through Airbnb while traveling. Another side of Airbnb, though, is the impact it has in the neighborhoods and cities where desperately needed housing is being converted for tourist uses. In Vancouver, an SFU graduate student in urban studies has started to dig into the data that tells a story about the impacts of short-term rentals on the rental housing market. Karen Sawatsky is doing her thesis on Airbnb, and she joins me this morning here in our studios. Karen was part of the Red Eye Collective earlier in her career, and it's great to have her here as a guest. Hi, Karen.
Hello. It's great to be back and see your temporary spaces here.
Can you just start off by telling us very briefly about the roots of Airbnb? How did it get started?
Yeah, it started in San Francisco in the summer of 2008, and it was started by basically, you know, two roommates and a friend of theirs. The two roommates were art school graduates, and the way they tell the origin story of their company's founding is that, they were these art school graduates. They were, you know, in San Francisco to see what they could make of their lives, but they couldn't make rent, and they saw that a design conference was coming to town, the hotel rooms were booked up, and they saw a business opportunity there, and they said, hey, why don't we rent our space? And so they put down a couple air mattresses in their own space, thus the name Airbnb. It started off as Air Bed and Breakfast. And so they rented it out, and then, you know, there was a series of events, and it became the company that is now valued at about $25 billion. It's a privately held company, so it's hard to say, but that's what the tech and financial press says.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about how it's grown from those modest roots?
For sure, yeah. So as you said, I mean, it was very much, I mean, there was a lot of, post-2008, this is when the housing bubble burst and the global financial crisis was happening. And so there was a lot of people that were out of work and needing ways to make income and that kind of thing. And so this so-called sharing economy, a lot of companies started off then as like ways to make money or ways to earn money from your existing assets and stuff such like that. So that's when a bunch of sharing, so-called sharing economies companies got off the ground. And it started off, you know, as the idea of like sharing your space. But then as it grew, what has happened, and I think this is the case in most of the cities around the world where it operates, the mass majority of its listings are not crash in my living room. It's rent my entire place while I'm away. And in Vancouver, that makes up about 70% of the listings, that type of listing. And they have about 2 million of those now worldwide. So that's pretty massive growth starting from 2008, 8 years later.
Tell us how you're collecting your data.
Well, I am fortunately done my data collection now. I'm trying to wrap up my thesis. I'm getting very close. And what happened is I was trying to figure out just how to quantify this issue in Vancouver to see what kind of impact it might be having on housing. You know, in Vancouver, with our rental housing vacancy rate, it's so low, it seemed concerning to me when I heard about this phenomenon and heard people talking about how anecdotally, they were deciding to, instead of rent their basement suites or rented condos or their investment condos to tenants who are just, you know, so much trouble to manage, they were saying, it works way better to, rent it out to a tourist instead. You make more money and it's a lot less hassle than dealing with a tenant. Not my words, paraphrasing their words. So I wanted to be able to quantify that, but it wasn't possible to do that on the Airbnb website because the way that they have it set up, They had a low cap on the number of search results that will turn that turned up. So it's not that you could just go to the Airbnb website and sort of put in a sort of a blank search and then see how many listings there are, you know, of all types. The website doesn't allow you to do that. And so then I realized I, you know, would need some sort of, you know, technical help to do that. And I looked around and there were some examples of journalism and other researchers that were doing something called scraping, where you collect the data directly from the website. And then so I was able to find someone locally that was able to write some software code for me that could do that.
So then what data did you find?
Well, the first time I collected data was in November 2014, and I found that there was about 2,900 entire listings. And then I collected data for several months, and at one point I released some data on my blog, and that generated quite a lot of media attention. At that time, I think there was had grown to 3,500 listings. And then, you know, I continued collecting data, and then I also used some data from another researcher in New York City who's, you know, been very involved with this. And so the most recent data that he has is from December 2015, and he found at that time that there was 4,700 entire listings in the city of Vancouver. So in the space of a year, we went from 2,900 to 4,700 using round numbers, which is about a 63% increase. So that's one of my main findings. There's many other things that I found, but just that data is as simple and basic as it was. That wasn't available from Airbnb, and it's not something that Airbnb likes to comment on very much. So that's something that I wanted to sort of contribute to the conversation about Airbnb and its impacts, is just the fundamental fact of how much there is, because how can you figure out the scale of the problem or appropriate solutions or whether those are even needed unless you have that sort of basic fundamental baseline data?
What kind of impact do those numbers have on the availability of rental units in Vancouver?
Yeah, so that is a more complicated question for sure, because as you referenced in your intro, like a lot of people do just rent their, you know, their rooms or even their entire homes. They rent it occasionally when they go away. Something, if you're renting your place occasionally when you go away, you know, even if it's your whole house, that has no impact on the housing market, right, or the availability of rental housing, because there's a resident there before and a resident there after. But if somebody is dedicating a unit, such as a basement suite or a rented condo or a laneway house, that takes it away. And so that is harder to tell. And so I've drawn mostly on Murray Cox's data for that, because he was able to collect more. And it looks to me like there's, you know, somewhere between 1,000 and say 1,200 entire units that are being used exclusively for short-term rentals in Vancouver. And we have a 0.6 vacancy rate. You know, you can sort of look at that and go, well, those 1,000 units, entire units, regardless of what impact that has on the vacancy rate, that's 1,000 households, renting households, that if those units were back in the rental pool, that would be that much better off.
Is this problem also being seen in other cities like Vancouver?
Absolutely, yeah. Airbnb is facing a lot of controversy around the world, particularly some cities where there's been, you know, sort of a real sort of pitched battles: San Francisco, New York, Barcelona, Berlin.
What has been the reaction there?
Well, housing advocates and tenants groups have been very concerned, and then in some cases, like, you know, it gets kind of nasty sometimes. Like, people put up signs telling Airbnb tourists to go away, or telling Airbnb, you know, they say, "Dear Airbnb tourists," they put up a sign on a phone pole saying, you know, "Hope you're enjoying yourself in New Orleans, but if you're using an Airbnb unit, you're displacing us." You know, so it can get quite pitched because you're dealing with housing, right? So it's something that people have a lot of emotion about. And then, of course, there's a lot of different regulatory attempts and efforts ongoing right now to try and, you know, from local governments that are concerned about the housing impacts, are trying to find ways to, you know, deal with that to make sure that it doesn't take housing away from residents.
And what are your concerns about how this affects people who are trying to live in a place like Vancouver that has such a huge problem with affordable housing across the spectrum?
Well, I think that I'm particularly concerned about its impact on renters, of which I am one, because, you know, Airbnb talks about how it has a line where it actually says, you know, Airbnb makes housing, you know, we make housing more affordable and accessible. Well, that is true if you're a homeowner and you have a secondary suite, or if you're an investment condo, you know, you can rent it out and, you know, make $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a month, you know, if you're renting it out for full time at least. And sure, that's going to help you afford your housing, but it's going to be at the cost of somebody, a local resident, a renter, that, you know, therefore does not have access to that housing. So Airbnb has very differential impacts. I think that's one of the key things. It's great for homeowners, and it's great for tourists. It's great for you as a consumer, but it's crappy for renters in the city that is being visited.
Now, you mentioned that some of the other cities where this is also being, you know, similar impact and experiences, and that those cities were kind of trying to put in some regulation. What are some of those?
Well, something that's just happened in San Francisco. San Francisco is a city that has, I think they're now in their fourth attempt to, you know, pass a set of short-term rental rules that actually works and accomplishes the goals that you know, people there want it to. So just like last week, the Board of Supervisors, equivalent to their city council, passed some new rules that are actually holding the platform, Airbnb or VRBO or whatever the actual company is, holding the company responsible for making sure that all the people that are listing units of housing on their site are actually registered, because San Francisco has a registration and a permit process, as do many other cities. That's the typical response, right? But what has happened in the dozens, even hundreds of cities that have put these permit processes in place, is there's like an abysmal rate of compliance, like low double digits. And so San Francisco has now passed legislation that's saying Airbnb, if there's a unit there that's not compliant, we're holding you responsible. You must take it off. There's now the sort of regulatory landscape and battle has gotten to the point where cities are trying to not just hold the hosts, the individuals, responsible for following the rules, but holding the platforms that are making, you know, the big bucks off people not following the rules responsible. So I think that's an important step. So if people are interested, I would say follow what's going on in San Francisco, follow what's going on in New York State, which just this week passed some legislation, and then there's a similar set of reforms coming up in Los Angeles that's probably going to be playing out over the summer.
And do you think that kind of legislation would be enough?
Well, another thing that I think is very important to have, and again, this is something that they talked about in Los Angeles, is Airbnb has not been willing to share its sort of booking data with cities, local governments so far. And so that's a real push. I think like any kind of regulatory regime is going to have to require, this may require court battles to get the platforms to share the data, because, you know, you can't say, sure, we'll pay taxes, but then they won't actually tell you how many units, how many hosts there are that are doing this. So it's an Airbnb is sort of saying, oh, well, we want to be cooperative with local governments, you know, tax us and everything like that. But they're insisting that it be on their terms. And that's just not going to work.
And so where's Vancouver in this process?
Their staff is studying it. And Councillor Jeff Meggs, a couple months ago, I guess now, he actually passed a motion actually asking the staff to step up their efforts, because they've been looking at this actually since last June, even perhaps earlier. So I think that we're going to hear from the staff with some sort of recommendations in the fall, probably September, perhaps as early as September. So, we'll see. I hope that what they come forward with is strong enough and reflects everything that has already happened in other cities, so that we don't have to start back from like where San Francisco was 3 years ago, because there's been a lot of lessons learned along the way about what works and doesn't work.
Is there anything you'd like to see added to that that we haven't already talked about?
Well, one thing I think is very important is that it should be restricted. If people want to do this, it should be restricted to their primary residence. So again, you know, just the unit you're living in, so you can rent that, you know, for a limited amount of time while you're away. But again, I think even in order to make that work, there has to be the sharing of the data. Otherwise, there's no way of saying, of policing the limits. But I certainly think it shouldn't be allowed that people can have, you know, renting out investment condos or, you know, self-contained secondary suites that residents could be living in on a full-time basis. And lots of cities have made that restriction.
And if any of our listeners want to weigh in on this, is there a way for them to do that?
Well, they could contact Councillor Jeff Meggs. I don't know if he would appreciate me saying that, but he has been sort of the lead person on this, and I know he's received a lot of email correspondence about it. But they could just write Mayor and Council, or they could specifically contact Jeff Meggs through the City of Vancouver website.
Yeah, I think that's Jeff's job, so
yes,
I think that's okay.
It is.
All right, Karen, thank you so much for coming in this morning and sharing your research with us.
It's been my pleasure.
I've been speaking with Karen Sawatsky. She is a graduate student in urban studies at SFU, and she has been writing her thesis on Airbnb in Vancouver.